Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be exploring, it's a question that, at least on the surface, seems a little paradoxical, you know? Can technology actually help us evolve spiritually?
That's a really good question. It's something that this article we're looking at today, technological progress, a catalyst or a hurdle for spiritual evolution, really digs into.
That's a great title, by the way.
It explores, this idea of whether all our devices and gadgets are actually moving us towards enlightenment, or maybe they're distracting us from it.
Right. So it's looking at technology as a potential tool for spiritual growth.
Exactly.
That's a very fascinating angle. But before we jump into that, I think it might be interesting to take a look at the history of technology itself. The article touches on that, right?
Absolutely. It takes us all the way back to the Stone Age, actually, and reminds us that, humans have always been inventors, tinkerers,
We like to mess around with things.
Problem solvers, from the first sharpened stone to the wheel, right? Technology has always been about, shaping our world and solving problems we've had.
And it seems like every major technological leap we've made has not only changed how we live, but how we think about ourselves and even the universe.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about the invention of agriculture back in the Neolithic Revolution, that changed everything. Suddenly, humans weren't just nomadic hunter-gatherers anymore, right? We were settling down, cultivating the land.
Building communities.
Exactly. That shift, I mean, it must have had a really deep impact on early humans' spiritual beliefs.
So maybe even back then, technology was already kind of intertwined with our spiritual development in a way,
Definitely.
but the pace of change has obviously accelerated since then.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just think about the impact of something like the printing press. Before that, knowledge was pretty much confined to monasteries and just a few elite circles. But suddenly, after the printing press, information could be spread everywhere. I mean, democratized access to knowledge like nothing before.
And it's interesting because we're kind of seeing that same sort of democratization happen now with spiritual teachings online. Anyone with an internet connection can basically learn about any tradition. They can access guided meditations, join virtual communities.
It's incredible.
It's amazing, right?
But it also raises questions about what we gain and what we potentially lose in this digital translation of spirituality. And that's where I think the article's exploration of spiritual evolution becomes so important.
So let's dive into that a little bit, this whole idea of spiritual evolution. Is it just another way of talking about personal growth, or is there something more specific to it?
Well, the article draws a distinction between, biological evolution, which is all about adapting to the environment, and spiritual evolution, which it defines as this like intentional development of our minds and our spirits towards a higher purpose.
So it's not like survival of the fittest in this case.
No.
It's more about consciously striving for something beyond, our material existence.
Yes, exactly. And it's a concept that you can actually find roots of in really ancient philosophies, like the Great Chain of Being, which saw this hierarchy in the universe with spirit at the very top.
The Great Chain of Being. Yeah, I vaguely remember that from some philosophy class years ago. Can you remind us a little what that's all about?
So it's basically this idea that everything in the universe is interconnected, but it's ranked according to its level of complexity and spiritual essence. So at the bottom, you've got rocks and plants, then animals, then humans. And then at the very top, you have pure spirit or divine beings.
So it's kind of like a ladder of existence, you could say, right? Each rung representing this higher level of consciousness.
Yes, exactly.
And humans were somewhere in the middle, always trying to climb higher.
Precisely. And that's where this idea of spiritual evolution comes in, right? It's about intentionally working to move up that ladder, to refine our consciousness, connect with something greater than ourselves.
I'm starting to see how this all connects to the technology question now. Because if spiritual evolution is about, transcending the material world, and technology is all about immersing ourselves in the material world, aren't those two forces kind of in opposition to each other?
Yeah, that's the tension that the article really explores. And it does this by outlining four key stages of spiritual evolution.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What are these four stages?
Well, the first stage is self-recognition. That moment when you realize, hey, I exist.
Right.
Seems pretty simple, but
yep.
It's really the foundation of consciousness.
So like becoming aware of yourself as separate from the world around you.
Exactly. And from there, you move to the second stage.
Yeah.
Self-awareness.
Okay.
And that's where you really start to like look inward, you know, and examine your thoughts and feelings, motivations, all of that.
So it's not just knowing you exist. It's like understanding who you are on a deeper level.
Yes, precisely. And this is where practices like meditation and introspection become really important.
Right.
Because they can help us, you know, peel back those layers of the ego.
Yeah.
Get to the core of our being.
That makes sense. It sounds like this stage is all about self-discovery, which, I mean, it's something that a lot of people are seeking, even if they don't think of it in spiritual terms.
Absolutely. And it's a stage that, you know, it can take a lifetime to fully navigate. But once we have a solid understanding of ourselves,
right,
then we're ready for the third stage, self-awakening.
Okay. So what happens during self-awakening? Is it like a sudden epiphany or more of a gradual process?
It could be both, actually. Some people, they have these profound mystical experiences, you know, that just completely shift their whole perspective.
Right.
But for others, it's a much slower, steadier unfolding of awareness.
But what exactly are they awakening to in this stage?
They're awakening to a deeper reality,
yeah.
You know, a sense of interconnectedness
okay.
with all things. It's realizing that you're not just an isolated individual. You're actually part of this vast and intricate web of life.
So it's like transcending the ego and recognizing your place in the grand scheme of things.
Exactly. And this this realization, you know, it can be incredibly liberating.
Yeah.
But also comes with a responsibility to live in alignment with that understanding.
Right, right. Which brings us to the final stage, freedom from attachments. What does that, what does that actually mean in practice?
It means letting go.
Okay.
Letting go of the things that bind us to suffering. You know, whether it's material possessions, unhealthy relationships, or even just our own limiting beliefs. It's about detaching from the outcome of events and finding peace in the present moment.
That sounds incredibly challenging, especially in a world that, you know, constantly bombards us with desires and distractions.
It is challenging.
Yeah.
But it's also the ultimate goal, right? Of spiritual evolution.
Okay.
It's about achieving true liberation from this cycle of suffering.
Okay. So we have this framework of spiritual evolution now, you know?
Okay.
This journey from self-recognition to freedom from attachments.
Right.
But how does technology fit into all of this? I mean, is it helping us move through these stages or is it actually hindering our progress?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the article, it explores both sides of that coin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the one hand, technology can be a really incredible tool for spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm.
Think about all the resources online, the meditation apps, virtual community. Okay. All of that is right there at our fingertips.
It's true. I mean, you can learn about pretty much any spiritual tradition.
Right.
Connect with teachers from around the world. You can access guided meditations and teachings 24/7. It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
It is amazing. And for people who, you know, for whatever reason, might not have access to traditional spiritual communities or teachings.
Right.
Technology can be a lifeline.
Yeah.
It opens up a whole world of possibilities.
But you mentioned there's another side to this, too.
Yeah.
So what are some of the potential downsides of using technology for spiritual purposes?
Well, I think one of the biggest concerns is that it can create a sense of superficial engagement with spiritual practices.
Okay.
It's easy to get caught up in the novelty of, you know, using a meditation app or attending a virtual retreat without actually doing the deeper inner work that's really required for transformation.
So it's like we might be mistaking the map for the territory. You know, we have access to all this information and these tools, but that doesn't necessarily mean we're actually progressing on our spiritual journey.
Yeah, you've got it. Yeah. And then there's the issue of distraction. Our devices, they're constantly vying for our attention, right?
Right.
Bombarding us with notifications and updates and just, you know, endless streams of information.
It's hard to escape it.
Yeah. And it can be incredibly difficult to, you know, cultivate that stillness and focus that's needed for deep spiritual practice.
Yeah.
When you're constantly being pulled in a million different directions.
I know. It's like our attention spans are being fragmented,
which
makes it even harder to connect with that that inner stillness. I'm definitely guilty of checking my phone sometimes, even when I'm trying to meditate.
I think we all struggle with that.
Mm.
And this constant stimulation, you know, it can actually rewire our brains.
Really?
Making it harder to just be present in the moment.
Mm.
And and engage in those deeper contemplative practices.
Right. So it's not just that technology is distracting us in the moment. It's like, it's actually changing the way our brains function.
Right.
So it makes it harder to even access those deeper states of consciousness.
That's right. And this brings up another concern, which is the potential for technology to create a dependence on external validation.
Okay.
Social media, for example, can very easily become this source of comparison and competition.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, leads us further away from a genuine self-acceptance.
It's like we're seeking approval and validation from others rather than cultivating that, inner sense of worthiness.
Yeah.
Which is essential for, you know, for spiritual growth.
Exactly. And that reliance on external validation, that can be a major obstacle on the path to liberation.
So it seems like technology really presents both opportunities and challenges for, you know, for spiritual seekers. It can connect us to resources, to community.
Right.
But it can also distract us, fragment our attention. It can even foster that dependence on, on external validation. So how do we, how do we navigate this complex terrain?
That's what we're going to delve into next. The article, it offers some practical guidance on how to balance, you know, our technological engagement with our spiritual aspirations.
Okay, yeah, I'm eager to hear more about that. But before we jump into the practical tips, I'm kind of curious about how technology is actually shaping the way people practice spirituality these days. I mean, we have virtual retreats, online courses, meditation apps. I mean, it's a whole new landscape.
It really is. And it's not just about, you know, individual practices. Technology is transforming how spiritual communities function.
Hmm.
And how teachings are being disseminated.
Right. Like those live stream ceremonies and online sanghas you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
It's fascinating how technology can bridge geographical divides and create new forms of spiritual connection.
It is.
Yeah.
But it also brings up, you know, questions about authenticity.
Right.
And the potential for technology to create maybe a more superficial or consumeristic approach to spirituality.
Okay, so let's unpack that a little bit. What are some of the specific ways technology is changing the landscape of spiritual practice?
Yeah.
And what are the potential pitfalls we need to be aware of?
Well, I think one of the most obvious shifts is the rise of online spiritual communities.
Right.
You know, platforms like Facebook and Instagram have made it so easy to connect with like-minded people, to share teachings,
yeah,
participate in virtual gatherings.
It's incredible when you think about it. You could be sitting in your living room connecting with people from all over the world,
yeah,
who share your spiritual interests. I mean, that level of accessibility was unimaginable just a few decades ago.
I know. It's really incredible. And for people who live in areas where there aren't strong spiritual communities,
what?
Or for those who, you know, maybe feel marginalized or excluded from traditional settings.
Right, right.
These online spaces can be incredibly valuable.
Yeah. But you mentioned the issue of authenticity. Is there a risk that these online communities might lack the depth and intimacy of, you know, of in-person connections?
Yeah, it's definitely something to be mindful of. While these online communities can offer support and connection, it's important to remember that they can also create this sense of anonymity and detachment.
Right.
And that can make it easier to engage in more superficial interactions or avoid difficult conversations.
So it's like anything else. There are benefits and drawbacks.
Yeah.
It's about using these spaces consciously, you know, not relying on them as a substitute for real world connections.
Exactly. And then there's the rise of virtual retreats and online courses. You know,
yeah,
these can be fantastic ways to learn about different spiritual traditions, to access teachings from renowned teachers, and to, you know, deepen your practice.
Yeah, yeah. I've actually taken a few online meditation courses myself.
Oh, yeah.
And I found them to be really helpful. It's great to be able to learn at your own pace and to revisit the material whenever you need to.
Exactly. But again, there's a potential downside here.
Okay.
The convenience and accessibility of online learning can sometimes lead to this this buffet-style approach to spirituality.
Okay.
Where we're sampling all these different teachings without fully committing to, you know, any one path.
So it's like we're constantly searching for the next new thing instead of diving deep into the practice and allowing it to really transform us.
Precisely. And this can lead to a sense of what's sometimes called spiritual bypassing.
Okay.
Where we're using spiritual concepts and practices to avoid dealing with the difficult emotions and challenges of life.
Right. So it's like using spirituality as a form of escapism rather than as a path to genuine growth and transformation.
That's right. And this tendency towards superficial engagement, it's It's further amplified by the rise of meditation apps and other technology-based spiritual tools.
Right. I mean, those apps are everywhere these days.
Oh, huh?
You know, they offer guided meditations, nature sounds, sleep stories. It's like a whole toolbox for managing your, your mental and emotional well-being.
I know.
Right.
And they can be incredibly helpful for cultivating mindfulness, reducing stress, improving sleep quality.
Right.
But the danger is that we can become reliant on these apps to regulate our emotions and create that sense of calm.
Right.
Rather than developing the inner resources and resilience we need to navigate life's ups and downs.
So it's like using these apps as a quick fix instead of addressing the underlying issues.
Exactly. And this can lead to a kind of spiritual materialism.
Okay.
Where we're accumulating all these spiritual experiences and insights, but without actually integrating them into our lives.
Right.
Without embodying the teachings.
It's like having a beautiful spiritual wardrobe, but never actually wearing the clothes.
That's a great way to put it. And this brings us to another important consideration, which is the way technology is changing the relationship between teachers and students.
Right. Because traditionally there's been a certain hierarchy and reverence in that relationship.
Yeah.
With the teacher serving as a guide and mentor. So how is technology disrupting that dynamic?
Well, with the rise of online platforms, teachers are becoming so much more accessible.
Right.
You know, you can follow them on social media, watch their videos, attend their virtual events. It's created this sense of intimacy and familiarity that wasn't possible before.
Which, I mean, that can be a good thing, right? It can break down barriers, make those teachings more accessible.
Absolutely. But it can also lead to a blurring of boundaries.
Right.
And a sense of entitlement among students. It's easy to forget that these teachers are human beings.
Yeah.
With their own lives and challenges.
Yeah.
And that student-teacher relationship, it requires respect and reciprocity.
So it's like we need to be mindful of the power dynamics at play and avoid treating these teachers like commodities or entertainment figures.
Exactly. And this is where the article's emphasis on mindful engagement becomes really important.
Okay. So let's talk about that. How do we use technology in a way that supports our spiritual growth without falling into all these traps we've been discussing?
Well, the article offers some practical tips for cultivating a healthy relationship with technology. And we're going to dive into those next.
All right. So I feel like we've covered a lot of ground here. You know, we started with the history of technology, looked at some of the potential downsides of using it for spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. But now I'm really curious to hear what this article suggests we can actually do, you know, to find that balance, to use technology without letting it derail our spiritual journeys.
Right. Well, the article doesn't offer like a one-size-fits-all solution, which makes sense because everyone's relationship with technology and spirituality is different.
Right, right.
But it does point to some key principles that I think can be really helpful.
Okay, so not strict rules, but more like guiding principles.
Exactly.
I like that. So what's the first principle we should be keeping in mind?
The first is awareness. You know, just paying attention to how we're using technology, how it's making us feel, whether it's truly supporting our spiritual goals, or maybe it's actually getting in the way.
So taking a step back and honestly assessing our relationship with these devices.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Are we using them consciously or are they using us?
Right.
And this awareness can take a lot of different forms.
Mm.
You know, maybe it's tracking how much time you're spending on your devices or noticing how you feel before and after using social media.
Okay.
Even just paying attention to the thoughts and emotions that come up when you're engaging with technology in general.
So cultivating a sense of mindfulness, you know, not just letting it all happen on autopilot.
Exactly. Exactly. And once we have that awareness, then we can start to set some boundaries.
Okay. Boundaries. Yeah, that sounds crucial. But what kind of boundaries are we talking about specifically?
Well, it could be anything, really. You know, from limiting your screen time each day to having certain hours that are tech free. Or even just turning off notifications.
Yeah.
Or taking, you know, regular digital detoxes.
Yeah. I've experimented with digital detoxes in the past, and I have to admit, it is kind of challenging at first, but it's amazing how much clearer my mind feels after just a few days of being unplugged.
I hear that from so many people. It's like, you know, you're giving your mind a chance to reset and reconnect with that inner stillness.
Yeah.
And it also creates space for other activities that nourish our spirits.
Yeah.
You know, like spending time in nature, connecting with loved ones, doing something creative.
Right. And those are all things that so often get pushed aside when we're constantly plugged in. It's like technology is subtly, you know, crowding out those soul nourishing activities.
It really is. And that's That's exactly why those boundaries are so important. They help us reclaim our time and energy and make sure that we're prioritizing those things that really matter.
All right, so we've got awareness, we've got boundaries. What's the third principle the article highlights?
The third is intentionality. It's about using technology consciously, you know, purposefully, making sure it's aligned with our spiritual values and aspirations.
So instead of just passively consuming whatever comes across our screens, we're being more active about choosing how we're engaging with technology.
Exactly. It's about asking yourself, is this app, this website, this social media platform, is it actually helping me grow spiritually? Or is it just distracting me from my path?
Right. So it's being more discerning about the information that we're taking in, the connections that we're making, the ways that we're using technology to support our practices.
Exactly. And the article gives a good example of this with a spiritual teacher named Lance Volk.
Okay.
And he believes that technology can be a really powerful tool for spiritual growth.
Okay.
If it's used wisely.
Yeah.
And he actually uses social media to share his teachings.
Interesting.
And connect with students all over the world.
So he's found a way to integrate technology into his practice without compromising his values.
Yes, exactly. And another spiritual leader that's mentioned in the article is Radhanath Swami.
Okay.
And he emphasizes that technology itself is actually neutral.
Right.
It's our intentions that determine whether it becomes, you know, a force for good or ill in our lives.
Yeah. That's a powerful reminder. It's not about the technology itself. It's about how we choose to use it.
Exactly. And this leads to the fourth principle, which is discernment.
Okay.
You know, recognizing that not all spiritual content or practices that we encounter online are created equal.
Right. So we need to be careful about who we're listening to, what information we're trusting.
Yes.
And what practices we're engaging in.
Exactly. You know, it's easy to get swept up in the enthusiasm and the charisma of certain online teachers or communities. But it's important to kind of step back.
Right.
Critically assess their teachings and just make sure that they align with, you know, your values and your understanding.
Right. That's where that critical thinking comes in, right?
Yes.
We can't just blindly accept everything that we're seeing online.
Yeah.
We have to be thoughtful and discerning.
Absolutely. And this is especially important in the realm of spirituality. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of misinformation out there.
Yeah.
And potentially harmful practices circulated online.
Yeah. It's like anything else. Buyer beware.
Exactly.
You really have to do your due diligence and make sure you're not being led astray.
Right. And the article gives a great example of this. It talks about the experiences of Czech Christians during the pandemic.
Sure.
And some of them found that, you know, online services and virtual communities actually helped them stay connected to their faith.
Yeah.
But others felt like something essential was lost in that digital translation.
Right. I mean, there is a certain energy and intimacy that's really hard to replicate through a screen. And I think it highlights the fact that there really is no one size fits all approach here.
Exactly.
What works for one person might not work for another.
That's right. And that's why it's so important to experiment, to try different things, and to just find what resonates with you as an individual.
So it's about finding that sweet spot, you know, where technology supports our spiritual growth, but doesn't compromise the authenticity of our practice.
You got it. And the article ends with a really thought-provoking question. I think it sums up this whole discussion beautifully.
Okay. All right. Lay it on me. What's the question?
As technology continues to evolve at this incredible pace, what steps can you take to ensure it serves your spiritual journey rather than dictating it?
Wow. That really puts the responsibility back on us, doesn't it? You know, we can't just let technology passively shape our lives and our spiritual paths. We have to be active participants, making conscious choices about how we engage with it.
Yes, it's about remembering we have agency.
Yeah.
You know, we're not just helpless bystanders in this technological revolution.
Right.
We get to choose how we use these tools.
Yeah.
And ultimately, whether they're helping us move closer to or further away from our spiritual goals.
It's a call to action, isn't it?
Yeah.
To be mindful, intentional, and discerning in our relationship with technology, to use it as a tool for growth, connection, inspiration, rather than letting it become a source of distraction, dependence, you know, spiritual bypassing.
Exactly. And it's an ongoing journey. As technology keeps evolving, so will our relationship with it. I think the key is to stay engaged, to keep asking these questions, and to keep refining our approach to make sure that technology remains a force for good.
Well, thank you so much for guiding us through this deep dive. I know I'm walking away with a lot to think about and some concrete steps that I can take to make sure that technology is really serving my spiritual journey.
I'm so glad to hear that. And just remember, you're not alone in this.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many resources and communities out there to support you.
That's a great reminder. And to all our listeners, thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it's given you some food for thought and inspired you to cultivate a more conscious and intentional relationship with technology. Until next time, keep diving deep.